אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי בעל הסולם.
We're reading in the writings of בעל הסולם, page 51, from the article "Sod Ha'ibur Lida: The Secret of Conception and His Birth," subtitled "The Soul Gives Birth to the Body: Conception and Development." You can ask questions at kab.tv, and selected questions will be live. Article "The Secret of Conception: His Birth," subtitled "The Soul Gives Birth to the Body: Conception and Growth, Development."
So we'll read the excerpts. The article is not exactly an article. It's really bits and pieces put together. Baal HaSulam wrote it as a draft for something he wanted to write afterwards. And he was used to writing different notes to himself and later making an article out of it. And so may seem to us like the different passages of the article are not really connected. In truth, it's all one thing, but we should just take into account that they're not exactly connected as in a properly organized article.
The soul begets the body, conception and growth, development. Just like in wheat that is sown, we see two processes. One, from the time that it is placed in the soil, and then it starts taking off its own form, which is considered as what begets her, until she comes to the aspect of zero, meaning the negation of the substrate of it, the form of its forefathers, and the potential becomes actual. Until then, it is considered as the aspect of ibur, conception, which is extended from the process of from above downwards. Two, when she reaches the final point, begins the development and the growth, which is the process of from below upwards, until she attains the level of the one that gave birth to her.
Which means that, first of all, there's a state in our development where we need to leave the previous form, which is like a grain of wheat that completely decomposes in the ground, loses its previous form, only the reshimo is left. Matter itself is just becoming dust and vaporizes. It becomes nourishment for the next form that will come after the decay, meaning there's a decline of the previous state and then the ascent into the new state. And at the minimum point, the bottom point, there's only a reshimo of the previous state that also transforms to the new state. And that is the correct form transformation of the vegetative and the animate and the speaking level as well as in spirituality. Otherwise, we would not be able to transition from state to state. So there has to be an inversion here. New tense field from the previous Partsuf called Tensfilot to the next Partsuf called Tensfilot, there's only a transition of the Reshimo. As we learn from the development of the Partsufim and the worlds, and this is how it is in our world as well, because the branch follows the root, and it's our inner development works the same way. It's the same rule. And so it turns out that any new state on the path is that we leave the previous state. We change our grasp, our approach, which seems incorrect to us. unfit, and then we upgrade ourselves to the new state. And so in spirituality, it's much more obvious than in corporeality. In spirituality, if a person does not replace his perception, his grasp, his view, he doesn't grow. He only keeps adding and adding, and that means he's like a little boy that simply grows more and more. But the indication to a person who actually develops is that he transforms in his conscious awareness, making efforts, being in control of these states, and coming to a state where he feels that the previous approach, the previous control is totally lost. He feels that he is disoriented, he doesn't know what to do and how to do. And we, those who go through spiritual states, feel it during the descents, that we're confused, that we don't know what's going on, and then a new state emerges. And people on the street, they barely go through that, or maybe even not at all in life, and they just keep adding, and so they never actually change to a new form. As it is written, what to do with children who grew older, meaning children who simply grew old throughout life, but they actually stay kids because they never received a new form. However, a person who reaches a state where he completely doesn't understand what's happening to him, the previous forms are all lost, he can't work according to them, he doesn't feel he has any grip, very confused in mind and heart, doesn't understand in what state or world he is. It's very peculiar, very weird, and the world seems very strange to him. And precisely from that state, like a grain that has rotten in the ground, that has no form at all, it only lost the previous form and hasn't took on a new form yet, that's the transition between states. So just see how what seems to us in our materialistic mind and heart, in a normal sense, the state of confusion, disorientation, helplessness, how that state specifically is the beginning of a new man on a new level, which in a realistic, egoistic fashion, this is an undesired form, and yet such a desired form for human development. And we're moving on to a new title called The Particular and the Collective Are Equal. And here, too, the collective and the particular are equal. How? Look at the world today. The world is plunging into chaos, confusion, disorientation, despair. It's a similar state. Of course, it's not the spiritual forms we go through, but still, helplessness. We don't know what to do. All the previous views, paradigms, worldviews, they all end. They all lose their strength and go bankrupt. And so we're in a state that has never been like that before. There's no real leaders, no strong opinion. Usually there's forces in the world trying to pull things in this direction, that direction, saying they know what to do. And today, you know, think about forces in the past, like Che Guevara, like Marx, like, you know, all of that is non-existent. And it means that the previous opinions and the old method doesn't work anymore. And it's like the grain of wheat that has rotten in the ground, and not something new is supposed to sprout from it. So we've reached the state of conception from which starts the growth. We've lost the previous form, and soon we'll begin the new form. And how will the world know? We who engage in the wisdom of Kabbalah and are found in that state, we are the reshimo with respect to the world, taking it from state to state. In the state of growth, it has to receive the orientation, the direction. And that's where we play out the role of the Reshimo. We are revealing how to grow, how to advance. If in all the natural states in nature, it appears like a law, it is instinctively clear to a vegetative, a plant, or an animal, or a still object, what needs to happen. On the human level, it needs to happen by conscious labor. That's the difference between animals and humans. That in our bodies, we're animals, but in our mind, we need to be humans, from the word Adam, which means dome, similar to the Creator in the new state. And that's where we need to wake people up and reorganize them, reorient them. And that's why Israel is called, I own the head, the Lirosh. And so the direction is provide progress and the right effort. And as we move towards it, we grow, we are facing our role, as well as the world becoming increasingly despaired and willing to be managed. And that's how it'll happen. Questions?
Joseph from San Francisco is asking, how can a friend strengthen himself in the group when he's taking on a new form and it's hard for him to justify the Creator and when he receives also a new coarseness?
In groups, we each receive every time, everyone in his own time, we take on new forms. And we go through ups and downs, and in the midst, we're found in that point of transformation, turning point, both when we go up and down in these fluctuations, we go through these turning points, these transition points. How can a person hold on to that? Only if he's connected to something that holds him. Because if he has no previous form and no new form, and only a Reshimo is left, then he is hanging in the air. There are a few states like that during the descent and ascent that a person is disoriented. He is detached from the previous form, and it's like he's starting his new life from a drop of semen, like having nothing, existence from absence, because we come from absence, we're the matter, and it renews. What is the Reshimo? It's without any matter. And so it's like you're going through an energetic leap. There's a wall with your matter. You bump into the wall, and then through the wall, only the Rishimo passes. And then there's this.
Then, so if it's only when you turn on the information only, it's not just you, it's the same Rishimo, existence from absence that the light created. And now it is happening to you and to each and every one, opening personally as a part of that same action. This is called that he renews on every day the action of Bereshit of Genesis. Alexander from Kharkov is asking, what is the new form that we acquire after we lose the previous, the earlier form? How is it different from us? The new form is a new heavens, a new land. It is all new. Even in a person who is beginning the path and he feels following the initial changes, it is already as if he's exchanging his clothing. What's new? It's a new perception, a new feeling, a new attitude. It's not so much. Sometimes the transition takes a long time, and then a person is in some sort of foggy state. And out of experience, we all feel that way, more or less. The main thing is to understand that it's actually typical to the human and not to the animate. Yes, Akoka. I heard you say in your explanation that we should be the Rishimo for the world. What does it mean to be the Rishimo for the world? That we, in a state where the world is confused, without direction really, without any leader who is confusing them. I mean, what is a leader? Leaders are people who confuse the world, but they at least take it into some direction. And that's going to grow, even. State of emptiness. And then it's as though we're going through that state of rotting. In the earlier state, we had development, the American dream, capitalism. Each and every one was acquiring things, advancing, and all of this is over. There's nothing to live for. And there's nothing to live for in such a state. It actually brings a person preparation for the question of what's the point in my life? Why bother living? And here, in this transition from this state to the spiritual state, we need to be as the Rishimo. What does it mean that we have to be as Rishimo? People who have Rishimo in them come to us and they enter the wisdom of Kabbalah. That they want to realize, actualize something that is in them. There is a certain form of advancement in them. They reach despair, just like us, that we have asked, what is the point, the reason for my life? And we started with the inner Rishimo that was revealed. We started advancing. But people in which this Rishimo doesn't appear, the whole world, the 7 billion, are falling down to despair, helplessness. They don't know what all of this is, a general bankruptcy. What do we do next? How to rise to the next state? The spiritual Rishimo is not, does not appear in them, like in you, let's say. So here, you have to, with our entire worldwide organization, here you have to serve as the Rishimo, meaning as something that is internal, inside of humanity, where our general desire, our general Rishimo, our general state towards this whole mass, this desire appears as you know, direction. This whole mass is empty, it reaches a state of rotting, and all that remains is our core, our grain that knows the great wisdom, the method, the direction, and nonetheless it has experience. And then we are actually pushing humanity forward. This is the role of Rishimo. But what do you have following the shattering of the vessels, if not Rishimo, that is called a spark, or the point in the heart, that has fallen into the broken desire? So the spark and the broken desire work together for thousands of years, and I begin to discover that the desire is empty, it's broken, it has no chance to receive anything, because it simply has no possibility, there's no masach, no restriction, no reflected light or anything. And that's what we discover. And then it's only the Rishimo that is burning within the desire that can bring the desire to a new state, because that Rishimo, that spark, is connected with the light. We have Orot Nitzotzim Kelim, light, sparks, and vessels. So the lights are up in Atzilut, the broken Kelim vessels are downstairs, and the spark is as the point in the heart within the desire. So we, who have... here it's the light on the top, or down here is the broken vessel, kli shavur, broken vessel, and in it there is a spark, nitzotz. So the light affects the spark, and by that it lifts, elevates the entire vessel upwards. So how otherwise can it be elevated? So at the time that the vessel is broken, meaning empty, when the time that the vessel is empty, it can only be through the spark. That's actually the time. What does it mean that we are now in a good time? Because this spark is now being emphasized, because the entire kli is empty. There's nothing in it. There's no future. There's nothing. So then it turns out that there is a connection between the lights, the sparks, and the vessels, right? That this spark, nitzotz, so again, we have kli, nitzotz, or vessel, spark, and light, all that we learn about. So now it is actually materializing. Yes? That point in the heart that is in the broken kli, is that the Rishimo? Is that our worldwide organization? Yes, that's the spiritual Rishimo. So how can that organization take the light and bring it to the broken vessel? So now, take into consideration that this is the small part, and reality is actually different. You have a great mass, which is humanity. This miserable humanity in complete bankruptcy. And you have a part of humanity, a part that is Bnei Baruch, in which there is the point in the heart, the Rishimo. And it's not just Rishimo, they are actualizing the Rishimo within the desire. So here there's also a desire, meaning a vessel, kli, and it is already connected with the light. There is some light there already. Let's say that there is, as if there, a masach, screen, and or chozer, reflected light. There is something in them which all in all serves as Rishimo towards humanity. And then The main thing they have is that from the light, they discover the reflected light, or makif, they have connection with the light, and through that they operate in humanity in such a way they raise everyone to the next degree. And maybe I don't quite get your question. Well, we can talk about sefirot and how it's happening in the world, but that is actually the role, and that is actually the time. Humanity has to now undergo an inversion. Yes. For that, their reshimo has to be actualized from the state that they're in. They have to transition to a state of bistol, right? Well, let's say that we were in some state, and now we've then fallen into that state on the bottom. This is called Sof HaGalut, the end of the exile. So, everyone is empty. This is humanity. This is the bifurcation point, the bottom inversion. And from here, we need to ascend. That is our past, our history. History. So, now, according to your explanation, if Bnei Baruch are the reshimo of humanity, then we don't expect anything. Nothing is expected from humanity. There's nothing to expect from them, to look for in them. They are now rotting. Humanity is now rotting like that seed, that grain placed in the ground. They have no hope, no leader, no direction. This is called bankruptcy. If at least I know what or where to go, then I have something. Bankruptcy means simply, in Hebrew you say pshitat regel, spreading out your legs, literally is bankruptcy. So I have no legs, I have nothing. All I have left is the reshimo. This reshimo also, they don't discover. Rather, we are their reshimo. And here, because we have a connection with the light that reforms, with that light that at the time of the shattering of the vessels rose to Atzilut. We can work within humanity. Within humanity, we can actually work. That is humanity. And in the center is Bnei Baruch, in red. In our contact with humanity, we are light towards them? Yes, certainly. Direction, method, teaching, Torah, instruction, what do you mean? The method of salvation? Rather, what is light? Light itself, nobody understands, nobody feels it, it doesn't exist. Light is a phenomenon within the vessel. Light of Chokhmah, we say, is indicated by Yud, or of the light of Chassadim is Hey. Light is an impression, an inspiration within the Kli, in the vessel. So this is done by the Kli, by the vessel. It's felt by the vessel. I don't feel electricity. I don't feel the current. I feel that something passes through me. My impression, my response. That's what I feel, and that is called light. Abstract light, abstract form, we don't talk about it because we don't attain it. We never attain abstract form. Only form that is clothed in matter. So we, with respect to humanity, do that, and we will have to provide them with direction how to continue onwards from that state, all the way up to Atzilut. And thanks to them, we also rise, because we, who are called Bnei Baruch, or we're called Israel, We have no chance to come out of this state. What will you come out of it for, and how will you come out of it if the desire of Israel, that Rishimo that exists in the desire, it is still inside of the desire. And only thanks to taking care of the desire, it also rises to its root in Atzilut. Therefore, Israel cannot leave the exile except by carrying out of the exile all the nations of the world. That's what Baal HaSulam says, that disseminating the wisdom of the Kabbalah in the nations of the world has to precede the redemption of Israel, and no other way. Which, as if, according to our logic, well, first we have to go out, and then we're going to bring them out. No, how can the Rishimo come out? The Rishimo has to awaken the desire, work with the desire, create a desire that is ready for redemption, so that spirituality for them will be actually redemption. And then it is considered that you go out, exit. Therefore, our work now, the work of dissemination, is simply, that is the spiritual work. As much as whatever lowly states you'll go through in dissemination, you should know that, well, you know, Baal HaSulam went to Poland, hoping that he'll be able to awaken them, you know, to spiritual work, to connection between them, not immediately spirituality, but connection. He wanted to correct the revolution that was happening, taking place in Poland, the socialistic revolution, and add to it a spiritual characteristic that it won't be that one is repressing the other. That will be for the sake of ascent and rising above the ego. Well, so see how much this person felt a need for that, an urge, a necessity. Yes.
So, as we go out today to disseminate,
yeah,
what does it mean for us to carry out this Shimo?
So, we teach people in the circles, in whatever meetings we have, in workplaces, in all kinds of places, we teach people that connection between us brings us to the next degree of the kelim, of the vessels. Yes, Mois.
Good morning, Rav, dear friends, World Kli. I have a question. You gave a very interesting review of the history of humanity and the transformation states and how there's a mutation sort of process between state to state. And my question is this. The change happens through these pulses of energy where we have no device or tool to pre-plan or identify it. And my question is this. From the state of conception to the state of suckling, we see the change in the person that it's like you said, only the Rishimo passes through the wall and then it continues with the interior of the Rishimo. My question is, what happens between the suckling phase to the adulthood? What happens in terms of this energetic leap? Is there an explanation from the Kabbalistic texts? What exactly happens between the suckling phase to the adulthood phase?
The difference is that you, instead of receiving fulfillment from Abba and Ima, you receive the fulfillment from Arich Anpin. You're asking about the Kabbalista texts, so I'm telling you that. And this we study in the study of the Ten Sefirot. Oh, there may be 300 pages about that. There is some place where they mention it.
Sorry, what chapter is it, Rob?
I think 12, right? Gadlut. adulthood or greatness of Zeranpin. Part 12, I think, of Tess. Part 13 is the 13 corrections of Dikna that also talks about it. So there's a lot about it. Maybe even 500, 600 pages. You have what to read if you want to. Just about the Gadlut. Yeah.
So it's very possible that there's a state where the changes are internal, meaning the same entity becomes something totally opposite, different. There's another transition, and we're supposed to be something that joins the sort of flow and just lose the corporeal body?
No, corporeal body, if you're asking about that, that's something different. If we don't talk about the corporeal material, the physical body, because whatever meets our senses, if our senses change, we lose that sensation of the corporeal body. That is, as Bala Sulam explains to us, that you feel the whole world on some screen in your head. In that screen in your head, you perceive this entire world as three-dimensional, with everything that is in it, still vegetative and animate, people, with time, motion, place, all the discernments, all the measurements and units of this world, it is all included in that same picture, the same image. So what is that picture? That picture is that the upper light is painting all kinds of forms in your desire. There is a desire, the upper light that now appears in the desire. Within that desire, it passes on some electric signals, some currents, and those currents bring to the desire a sensation that, all in all, the sensation accepts that sensation, receives it as a form, shape, form of the world, people, stars, everything there is. It is all within the desire. Within a single desire. And within that single desire, there are parts that feel themselves as separate parts, still vegetative and animate, and people are even more separated and unique parts, where as if each one has its own thought and desire and intentions, it's all happening within the desire. And a man who, that is one of the parts in this desire, if it starts working on itself and out of the correct effort, he receives an identification with the force that revives, with the force that operates him. He starts feeling that force. He starts identifying with it. Then he begins to be an active part, like that force itself. To help that force, as if, to continue its action. And then it is called dvekut, adhesion. So you have such small individual desires, and those small desires also include within them the whole structure, but on a small scale, and they are drawn to resemble the general force, that great force of activation. And this is how we change. So, all in all, we acquire awareness, consciousness of the force that is operating us, and this is called adhesion with the Creator. This world, does it change? It doesn't change. When I begin to discover spirituality, I begin to recognize the world in the correct manner, that it is all happening within my desire. And also this world is taking place within my desire. And all that I see, that I now recognize around me, the still vegetative, animate people, and all that we did in this world, all kinds of artificial things, it is all my desire. And to the extent that I process this desire in the correct way, I start perceiving, feeling new phenomena in it, and it is all me. Now, in my desire, there are changes that I undergo, and those are called gilgulim, revolutions or lives, incarnations. There are also changes where I lose my grip on the lowest form of my perception, and that is called this life. And again, I go and I come back, and all of this is happening within my desire. If we shift, transition to the revelation of the Creator, and that is already taking place in the revelation of the desire, the first ten sefirot, in which I start recognizing the whole of reality in the right way, then I have no problem with all of these forms, including the corporeal life and death, as we call it, because I see that these are simply all changes in my desire. Nobody actually feels, a person doesn't feel himself as though he died or he's about to die. For him, also, this is not life. He's simply getting rid of this form, and he feels some grief out of it. And he also accepts the suffering that he has before he gets rid of this corporeal life. He also sees these as actions of suffering that simply help him rise above them and purify.
If so, Rav, the loss of the self is actually the same energetic process that where the eye disappears and it becomes part of the flow.
Yeah, the eye disappears and decays, and a new eye or self is born. It's personal for him, so go ahead.
You said before about the end of the exile. Why do we have to go bankrupt towards the end of the exile?
Otherwise, how will you rise to a new degree? If you don't feel on yourself that if you don't reach the bottom, following the various forces, desires, direction, scrutiny, and clarity. If you don't fall from that, you don't take on a new form. If you're still holding on strongly to the previous state, how will you shift to the new state?
Usually when we say exile, so the law of where you are is the end of the troubles.
Exile is the end of the troubles?
No, the exile is being in the trouble, but being just disconnected. That's the term of the exile. But then you said, okay, the end of exile ended, but now you'll go bankrupt. Well, what's that?
And also, that's how it is with the exit from Egypt, all of those things. You have 7 years of satiation, then 7 years of hunger, and then up in the darkness of Egypt, the great plagues, the great blows. Who receives blows, strikes? My body receives the blows, the plagues, the Pharaoh in me. So that's called bankruptcy. That I, in the final 10 sefirot, the final 10 blows, sorry, I'm completely disparate. And it cuts me off completely from my own will to receive. And then I'm willing to get out of Egypt, to escape from it. This is called bankruptcy. Because I've entered Egypt, and there was food there, there was life, everything was good. Whatever you want. Egypt, for the people, for the sons of Jacob, was like the land of Israel. Truly milk and honey, whatever you want. Truly so? Joseph was up, appointed up above, and he was organizing all of Egypt, and all of Egypt worked for the Jews, for the people of Israel. Listen, it's very important that you now are in a state where your ego is giving you all of life, everything. I reached the wisdom of Kabbalah. Now I'm learning how to enjoy, how to do things, how to even succeed in life. Earlier I had nothing. Now it's the whole of this world, the whole of the next world. I'm going to acquire everything. That's what a person feels when he comes here. He found a great bounty. Now look, I'm going to fill up all of my vessels. It's called the wisdom of Kabbalah, reception. Later, gradually, as he advances, he still participates in all of our things, activities. Then he starts feeling 7 years of hunger. What is hunger? The bankruptcy starts. Where is that fulfillment? Where is that promise, that guarantee? What do I attain, understand, feel, control? There's nothing. He falls down, deteriorates. So you see, 1,000 enter the room, as it says, and one comes out to teaching, instruction, the one who is capable of bearing those things. Why? Because there's still something on the outside. Now we're reaching a state where even outside one will not find anything, so they'll come back. It's fine, we have no such calculations, no grudge. They can come back, we're happy to receive everybody coming back. But it's clear why they're coming out, because there are 7 years of hunger. Once they start being felt in one, he runs away. He runs away because he doesn't understand that he has to accept, receive the new world with new vessels. And if one doesn't prepare new vessels, what is he going to feel? And it all ends in the ultimate bankruptcy, which is the 10 plagues, the 10 blows, where one does not succeed in anything. What does it mean, the 10 plagues? That with all of my last forces, the 10, relations, kinds of relations that I have in this world, where I want to succeed in something, education, safety, security, economy, finance, food, sex, family, something, in none of these can I find something with which to revive myself. Nothing. And then this dryness, this exhaustion ends up with me having to flee, my own will to receive, with this system of receiving and filling up myself. I have to say goodbye to it. There's no chance with this method that I want to fill up myself to put anything into my mouth. No chance. We have to shift, to move on to the next method, next system. And then I, when it's called that I escaped the land of Egypt, I crossed the Red Sea. These are all internal actions. In my awareness, in my understanding, I run away from it. How can I go away from it? I'm I'm afraid, I'm in darkness, but I know that there's nothing more to do there. I really receive help from above that pulls me out, but I'm ready for it, I'm willing. And then I begin to take on the new form from Mount Sinai and onwards. That is the path that we now have to go through together with the whole world. What we did earlier was a preparation. It was just over the small part, Golgotha and Anaim, as we learn, Israel, Israel. Now we have to do these things with the whole world. That is, the whole world will have to, and is now going through the same state as we went through in the exile of Egypt. Now the whole world is undergoing exile. It is now deteriorating into exile. The 7 years of cessation are done, these American dreams. No, that, you know, they were thinking that we, all of us, will grow, the whole of humanity will prosper, will flourish, and we'll, you know, reach the moon and Mars, and there are no limits, no boundaries. Now we're shrinking, and we don't want anything. This is called the 7 years of hunger. Now will come additional 10 plagues over all of humanity. And we see already an ecological blow. We're going to have a problem with gasoline, with petrol. And we're going to have other problems with germs, plagues. You'll have enough of those. It's going to happen. If we won't be able to mitigate these things, and nonetheless it's going to happen, but we'll be able to mitigate them to some degree through our advancement towards them, that we, in our awareness, in our understanding, we can mitigate to a great degree those blows. Yeah, but it will come.
So when he writes here, until you come to the zero phase. So if I come to the zero phase, doesn't it influence everything around me? Because what's zero? Zero is nothing. So if I'm in zero, I don't feel the feedback of what's happening in the world. Is that what it means or something else?
No, the point of zero is that you, specifically through the pressures where you feel what is happening in the world, you accept all the conditions that are in the world, and you are aware, you're grateful that they all brought you to the right decision, determination, that you're finally willing to want to reach bestowal.
Where's the strength? You're nothing. How can you lift yourself? Like you said before, you went bankrupt, you're in nothing, you're zero. How do you even lift up?
The upper light performs all the actions or over the vessels and the Rashimot. We have Orot, Nitzotzim, Kelim, lights, sparks, and vessels. That's it. The upper light performs actions on them. Whereas you are able to influence this entire process is only in accelerating it, hastening it. That by you clinging to the environment, you provide the upper light with the possibility, the opportunity to shine in a stronger manner. Or let's put it this way, you then grasp, perceive this illumination in a more intensive manner. It's not that it shines more powerfully, but you become more sensitive towards this illumination. And then you advance faster in the same direction, precisely in the same process, but you are advancing faster, and then your advancement is desirable to you. Therefore, it's called the path of the Torah, the path of the light, and not the path of suffering.
I went bankrupt. I'm nothing. Where's the strength to elevate yourself? Who's elevating me?
We? Should you want to cleave to us?
I don't even know that you exist.
What do you mean?
No, it's not this issue. I don't know. I'm going bankrupt. I'm nothing. I'm zero.
Yeah.
How can I even know that someone in this world can help me? I'm nothing. I'm on the floor.
You're being brought. I mean, it's the light that arranges the opportunity for you. Come on. I mean, how did it make it so that you are sitting here? It arranged it for you, that opportunity. It will arrange another opportunity for you, and everybody gets an opportunity. But once you have the opportunity, you have to invest an effort, and according to the effort, you are going to advance onwards. The difference between the way that you advance through suffering and you advancing through the Torah, through the wisdom of Kabbalah, is the speed and comfort, ease. That is.
Is there a matter of Rishimo that leads me here, or what?
The way you use the group, and through the group you start receiving the light instead of receiving it by yourself. I have to go through various states, situations. So I can go through these states the way that the light shines on me. The light shines on me in such a way Or I can be in a state where the light shines on me in such a way. What is the difference? Tell me. That here, in one case, I'm with the group. So the light shines to the group, and through the group shines on me, since I'm in the group. And then I receive a kli, a vessel. My kli is everyone's kli. You see, you realize what a great kli I then have. My reshimo is also the same reshimo as everyone, so I advance together with them. So see in what intensity I can advance. Or my kli is my individual kli, and I have nothing. My personal or individual kli. And what do I have? In what intensity? I have nothing. And also this light that comes to me, it is the light that shines to an individual, is the light of suffering. Light of suffering. It's not the light of pushing you forward, because one does not direct himself towards connection with the others. One does not direct himself to... What does it mean, connection with the others? Connection with the others means that if I'm not in that, it means that I'm not directing myself towards nullifying my ego. It's one and the same. I'm in some state. That's ani, me. Either I'm being pushed from below, that's suffering. The light of suffering is also light. Light of suffering. Or I'm being drawn forward by myself. I'm drawn towards the group, towards connection. And that's through effort. Yegia. That I invest, I make the effort. And first comes the exertion, the effort. So number one is effort, exertion. And then number two is the light that I invite, that I draw. It is I awaken the dawn, I awaken the lights. In this case, in that red case, I come first. I'm the first. Whereas down here,
Or Amichayev
is the light that necessitates. Therefore, it is suffering because it goes against my desire, against my will, my desire. That's the entire difference. Either we run forward or we're being beaten from behind. It's a difference in speed. It's a difference in the pleasantness of the path and everything. Well, yes, Mushi.
In the beginning of the lesson, you said, what state can you describe so that where a person needs the force of unity? So I'm trying to describe it, and I don't understand what needs to happen to a person that he lacks love and connection to need the Creator. That's a different thing. When there's a problem, when troubles, people naturally feel that they need that force, but to need love and connection, what needs to happen to the person and to the whole of humanity even, that's not clear.
If people knew who the Creator is, they wouldn't even ask to come close to it. They wouldn't pray to it. They would pray to, you know, just leave us alone, and that's it. Because it is so much against our nature that the evening, we have an evil inclination. On top of it, we receive blows, and it pushes us to a situation where that we don't want to begin with. It's a bad force. If you look at everything that is happening towards the ego that he created, then there's nothing more polar opposite to it, more contrary to it. Where do we get all of our enemies, all of our troubles? The revelation of the Creator towards my own nature, that what it awakens in me. His coming closer to me brings me all of the bad things, because he is the opposite. In his light, do I feel good? In his light, I feel bad. It's light of bestowal, of love of others. What am I trying to say? Just not only everything but that. Just not that. If we will understand a little bit these foundations, therefore, what did humanity do? It formed for itself religions that he's good, he wants us to ask, and then he'll give us the good. And for the time being, it's not him who's giving us the bad things, it's somebody else who's giving us those bad things. There are good forces, bad forces, as if bad forces were created somehow and they actually operate against the Creator, they're independent of him. All kinds of forms of religion, of philosophy. So then you have room for these various matchmakers. You know, you give me some money and I'll arrange good forces for you that will help you. These are all... But if humanity nonetheless would understand the force of the Creator, it would be running away from him specifically. What do you want to receive from him? This force of bestowal. Imagine a father that only speaks about bestowal. He's only demanding bestowal. He only takes into consideration actions of bestowal. And then doesn't even want to hear anything about other than that. And you come to him and you want to nag to him that you want to receive something. You want some pampering, this kind, that kind. He doesn't want to hear about it. He's going to beat you up. You feel hated by him. Imagine such a father. He has no understanding of the will to receive. When you come and you plead, give me something, daddy, spoil me. Spoil? What does it mean, spoil? Spoil. For me, pampering you means that I give you the opportunity to bestow. Because for me, that is the best possible thing. Pampering for me is that I now allowed you to take care of some old man. And you have the opportunity to care for him and give him everything. That is the pampering that I gave you. I brought you some place, some room, where you can express yourself in the form of bestowal. What are you looking at me? Yeah, it's an upside-down world. Well,
I understand it's a reversed world, but how, you know, a person, how can he, you know, run around all day looking for that state? It's horrible to hear, but how can I really chase such a state? What needs to happen to the person?
Nice. Good, nice question. How can it be that it can even come closer to such a monster, to our father who is so opposite to us? His grace is that he's beating us so that we will get rid of our own egoistic nature that he created in us, right? But he also gave us an environment. And he tells us, son, I'm going to put your hand on the good fortune, take it, and if you'll behave nicely and well, you'll be beloved by me, because you'll behave like me, and you'll come closer to me according to your new behavior, which is where you're all going for bestowal, love of others, above your nature, and that way you'll continue coming closer to me until you truly feel that I am actually daddy who's done everything for you, even that dark basement and even those beatings that I've prepared for you and that you received along the path. You will discover them as grace and pure love. It's not simple, but if you have a grip on that, if you don't leave what we just talked about, gradually you take on a new worldview, a new outlook. You need to change your perception. And then this new outlook, perspective opens up for you that is completely new. New values. And then you realize that really everything turns into absolute grace. I see that I have no words from the moment that you started engaging in the dissemination of integral education. Yeah.
Right, so what is the meaning of this thing when you make an action of bestowal and it's like grass for you. You, there's no taste and you enjoy it. What is this?
Support from the friends.
It's like treating the old man example.
Yeah, but if you now receive support from the group and they say, oh, he's so strong, he's so mighty, it's also worthwhile for us to do the same, they respect you, etc., then already you have fuel. That is allowed for you to receive that.
It's not ego?
No. Because you are counseling yourself towards them, and in return you get fuel. And with that fuel you perform an act of bestowal. Nonetheless, you're engaging in something that in the end you're bestowing. The question is the following. You're going to that old man for what? To perform an act of bestowal or to receive a reward from the group that is telling you, you're a hero, you're strong, ta-ta-ta. What are you doing it for?
To get something in exchange.
Well, if you want to receive some exchange, it's, you know, still to receive. But from Lomishma, you
still feel the pleasure.
You'll feel the pleasure, but nonetheless, gradually you'll start discovering that the act of bestowal itself is great, it's important, because there is illumination in that, nonetheless. And then you start feeling that it's worthwhile for me to make all the efforts in order to perform the act of bestowal itself without anything in return. Theoretically, if I could think of how to do it, even though I'm unable, because at that moment immediately I fall into reception, immediately I demand something. But nonetheless, how is it possible? And from such states, gradually you get there.
No, but this is the point. What is the essence of this? Why do I need to be brought to that state specifically that I enjoy pure bestowal without anything in exchange? What?
The light influences you this way. If it weren't for the light, how would it be possible? That's how the light affects you and it changes you. Why? Because the Shemo works in such a way. Why is it this way? Because the Creator created it this way. Why? Well, we can't reach that essence of that knowledge. We can't discover in our vessels, you know, why did he shape reality in such a way, the will to receive, the will to bestow, the entire process, that, as we say, the final act is in a preceding thought. When you reach the end of the action, of the act, then you'll discover the preceding, the initial thought. Just like with everything in this world, only after you come to know the entire system, all of it, you can discover why it is exactly this way, what's the benefit out of it, what did the one who designed it think.
In the meantime, to enjoy the fact that everyone else encourages me to treat the old man.
Yeah, yes. Well, let's move into something else. I see that. So it's good that you're up now. What are we going to do? Zohar. Oh, Amnon wants to ask something. Go ahead, ask. Yeah, go ahead and ask, yeah.
Good morning. Perhaps it's a bit towards the end, but the things you say really open up and unravel, and there's great insights to all those who listen and study with us. I want to go back to the wonder of that grain that rottens and that rots and then grows again. We studied this with you for years, and with Rabash, you told us that he worked in the IRS and he didn't want to be a manager. But for him, it was reasonable because he was born into this. We haven't. We each came to this from a different stage in life, different career, different workplace, and we study what we study. And like the grain, we rot it to an extent, and we grow into something new. On the one hand, we have an advantage over the world because we're a type of a light unto the nations. On the other hand, we have a deficiency. Why? Because if we all come from, you know, from work, from businesses, we kind of become pure, innocent, because we start everything anew. And, you know, it says they created the evil inclination, but we receive the spice of Torah somewhere, and the world doesn't know, so it has an advantage over us. How do we make it so that we can draw the world on the one hand, on the other hand, that we won't be hurt by this world so much, because in the end we live in this corporeal world in every sense and every way?
You get now to speak to people recently for the past 1 or 2 years. Yeah. Don't you see that you have many, you have a lot of strength and knowledge and the right access, attitude and examples, you're really full of all of these things compared to them? And what do they have?
They don't have anything, that's the thing. They don't understand me.
So how can you be confused by them? What can you be impressed by? Earlier it was that way. I remember that I traveled abroad, overseas, and I saw people being happy. What great houses, what success, cars. You know, in Israel, 30 years ago, we didn't have such things. Wow, it's so, you know, there was something to be envious of. Nowadays, you can go over, you know, anywhere in the world. If you, wherever you go, it's going to be the same. I'm telling you. From Chile and Mexico and North America and Europe and Turkey and the Eastern Europe and Siberia, wherever I went, and Japan, anywhere, it's the same food. Same clothes, same, well, dishes, vessels, same names for the dishes even. Well, certainly there are some differences, but as if you have nothing to be envious of. What can you be impressed, inspired by, especially nowadays when you reach, look at forces that or places that were developed before. Now you see how much people are really living, you know, pennies. Everything is so small that, you know, same Europe.
Tell you what, I feel it when I speak to people, and I see what you're saying. I see the inspiration from me, from what I do, and the problem is they don't have the understanding, the desire, and they think that I'm perhaps, you know, something happened to me.
That's clear.
Clear. So I'm saying, okay, if something happened to me, then, you know, perhaps he can set me up. And, you know, everything's good with me. It's like, it's okay. But how do I communicate that to them? There's a bit of a, because after being wrought as the grain and something new grew from us, I think every person here feels that if he's working outside with people, that
So what's the question? How to make it?
How to combine these things, the spirituality that we study every day, with corporeality, where the environment is different, you know?
No, in corporeality you have to be like iron, as usual, like normal.
It's a problem.
What's the problem?
It's a problem because I've changed.
No, take the example from me. Come work in a factory for a month, you'll see how I'm going to treat you. You'll see how I'm going to suck everything from you. What do you mean? Well, you're laughing, Zvika? You don't realize I'm telling you seriously. Then you see the way I yell at everyone and almost beat up everybody. Yeah.
Look, I take an example from the Rabash.
You should take the example from me.
So he at first said, leave me alone, I don't want to be a manager, you know.
No, because, you know, income tax, it's a mess, it's politics, you know, it was the old party here, the ruling party, it was a mess following the establishment of the State of Israel. You know, it's the same guys that Zvika knows and works with. But, no, he simply didn't want to be the supervisor, to have responsibility. So, he says, I do whatever I need to do to earn my salary, that's it. But we have to distinguish between one and the other, really distinguish between the things. It's not that we don't take anything into consideration. Love, well, look what love is for the Creator. From the one hand, it's beating. On the other hand, there's love. If you're not in that, you're going to move to din, judgment. And it can be either judgment or rachamim, mercy. You can't have one without the other. If you cancel the left line, you don't have the right line. So that's forbidden. It's forbidden. In the work, everybody must be without any mercifulness. The calculation must be just like the one between an employee and the employer. That's it. And that's actually for the good of the employee. In our case, it's, you know, if you look at a factory, if he is my student and in his work he's, you know, doing something like he's studying or doing something else that he's not supposed to do while he's working, that's pure spiritual damage for him. It's damaging. It's, you know, he's being paid money to do his work, only that. And it's taken from the whole world group, from the entire master of the world group. And instead he's using that money in order to philosophize or do something else. It comes back to him several times over. He won't advance. He will not advance. And therefore, we, using pressure and all kinds of such other actions, we help him. Truly so. And if people don't understand that, it has to be not just managers like Mushi. There has to be a whole group that is helping, because it also greatly affects the advancement of the group. The work in the factory, as much as they are beneficial, productive during the work, and they really want to invest all of their strength, all of their force every moment, because that's our dissemination factory. Either they advance or they block, they stop the entire group, the entire world clear, and everything that's taking place in the world. You see, it's a great problem. And I yell, and I don't have the strength to do it anymore. But I used to have the strength for it in the past, and I was very hard about it. I don't have time for it anymore. Hopefully they'll get it. But here everybody must perform a very meticulous calculation with himself. Nothing's going to help him if that's the way he relates to the exertion of the others that he's living off. When I now go to buy something in the super out of my salary, I'm buying things, I need to make the calculation, and I'm buying that because everybody actually paid for it. Do I really deserve this? It's not simple. Not simple. I don't want to elaborate too much on it, but yes.
По факту получается процесс воспитания. То, что мы читали на подготовке, и вот сейчас то, что вы рассказываете.
Turns out that we're talking about an educational process, what you spoke about in the preparation and now.
That's true.
If I love something, it's an egoistic love.
That's
true.
If my desire is broken and the taste of dust I can't love, so all I have is one solution, loving love itself.
I don't know what that is, loving love itself. Maybe to love, love means to love, bestow.
But love is bestowal, basically. Love, I mean the Creator.
Spiritual love, that is bestowal, that's true. Yes. Yeah?
Question we got from both Scott and Zev from Haifa, and also question from Yokneam. They all ask the same question, basically. Can we prevent the 10 plagues? What can we do in our work so as to avoid or decrease these blows?
These 10 plagues, the Egyptians go through them, meaning our will to receive. If we rise above it, then we don't feel them as plagues, as blows. Rather, we feel it as aiding forces that help us detach from them instead of being inside of them, instead of being connected to them. If you are connected to something, you can be connected physically, emotionally, ideologically. Yeah, it depends on the 5 degrees of the connection in the vessels. So as much as we rise above the will to receive, detach ourselves from it, and we don't identify with it, then those 10 blows, these 10 plagues, are felt not as blows that I'm getting. Well, first as blows that I'm getting, then more external, and finally I start discovering. Let's put it this way, if I feel at the fourth phase, and the third phase, the Gimel and Dalet of youth coarseness, I feel it as beatings that I'm getting at the Ga Bet, at the second phase, I feel it as external blows at the Ga Aleph, the first phase of youth of coarseness. I feel that it's actually helping me, and at the Ga Shoresh, the root phase, I actually bless, I'm grateful that these blows are happening and helping me detach myself from Pharaoh and running away from it. That's how it happens. It's gradual. And you can feel that in everything in your life. Depends on how much you're connected to it, dependent on it, the more you feel either a nice attitude, or like the 7 years of satiation, 7 years of hunger, later the plagues. And let's finally move on to the Zohar.
Moving on to the next part.